Well, I still am working on our spokes. So you pray for us. Seems like almost every Sunday, before the Sunday's over, I receive the inspiration somewhat for the next week, at least the thought. And that's not nearly always the case for me, but has been on this. And, you know, we've talked about the different things. The spokes, as we see in this wheel here, they support that wheel. They support the whole cart. They support everything it's doing. And there are things in our life that will support our Christian experience. It'll support us going to heaven. And so we want to be diligent to keep those spokes strong and to keep them in a way that will enable us to make the long haul. Because when things get rickety and they get out of line or and we lose some spokes, we become very vulnerable, don't we? So I want to think about this morning. We wrote on the board endurance. And we had a lesson on virtue one Sunday, maybe 5 Sundays ago or so. This is quite different than virtue. Virtue is strength. It's courage. These things overlap a little bit, but endurance is a mindset. It's a heart set that we are willing to go through and bear some things for the Lord. And so I want to think a little bit about this idea of endurance. I feel like I've been inspired. I feel like the Lord's given me some things about it. In Matthew, the 10th chapter and the 22nd verse, we find the Lord preparing us. You know, when you're young, it's hard to think about having to endure anything because we want to think about the bright life ahead of us. And life truly has many bright places, but also has some stretches that just simply have to be endured, don't they? They have to be put up with. They have to be gone through. As hard and difficult as that may be, it is so. And so I want to encourage us this morning. Most of the ones we've had have been, last week we talked about the scriptures. That's a pretty easy one to talk about, isn't it? It's a pretty easy thing for us to relate to, and a very needful topic for our salvation. But Jesus told us how valuable this was as well. Matthew 10 and 22 says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." You know what it means to be hated of all men? It means, I was reading about a group of people, a group of Christians, I don't know anything about how they lived or anything, in a foreign land just the other day. This is current events. And the people there kept wanting them to leave, and they kept persecuting them. Now, that's an easy word for us because we don't have a lot of it here, do we? But you know what? There came a famine, and these people put into the government of the whole country to have relief and supplies. And they listed out how many people they needed help for, but they didn't list these Christians out. And they told them, "We keep trying to get you guys to leave." Now, you know, they were struggling to survive and to eat as well as others. That's what Jesus was talking about here. That's one little piece of it. And we'll think about a few other things this morning. But he said, "You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, shall be saved." That word endure, I want to pay close attention today to what Jesus was saying. Because he said here, this word that he used means behind us, to stay under or behind, to remain. Figuratively, to undergo, that is to bear trials, have fortitude, persevere. And Webster's, you look up fortitude, and it means that strength or firmness of mind or soul. That strength or firmness of mind or soul, which enables a person to encounter danger with coolness and courage, or to bear pain or adversity without murmuring, depression, or despondency. That's a pretty tall call, isn't it? That's going to take some growth on our part, isn't it? And so the Lord says here, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You know, I am one that really believes in the truth of the gospel, that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth brighter and brighter into the perfect day. I believe that. I believe the blessings that a Christian life bring are amazing and many. But I'll tell you, there are some real sloughs of despond. There are some real places in life that we have to go through, that we have to be willing to go through, because they lie between us and the goal, as well as the days of victory that we feel victory, and the days of joy and all of that. We have to be prepared. We know some of the saints at the end of their life, some are just seem like strong all the way to the end, and then they pass on, and others suffer. And we don't know what our part is going to be, do we? We don't know what's going to come our way. But I'll tell you, we will do ourselves a favor to have a mindset to make the long haul. It will be a spoke in our wheel that will support our experience, that will not give out on us just because things dip real low for a while. Because they do that, and they will do that. Probably every one of us that have been here for a while have found that out. So let's get a mindset to be willing to endure, and to be willing to suffer some things, and be willing to suffer the loss of all things, that we might make heaven our home, and that we might have an enduring substance when we get there. And so let's look over in Hebrews 11 and 27 and begin to look at a few things. Hebrews 11 can tell us a whole lot about that. It's not a chapter of defeat. It's a chapter telling about those who were great victors in the things of God. But it's also a chapter that tells us about many things that happened very negatively in their lives. And we find here, Hebrews 11 and 27 says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, who was this talking about? Moses. You know, he forsook the nice, if you want to, I don't know if this is a good word for it, the nice, soft, cushy, everything he wanted, everything his eyes could behold, he had. He was a rich man. Moses was rich. Moses was powerful. But he forsook every bit of that, because he saw something that was in, he saw a God that was invisible. He didn't carve him up, but he was very real, wasn't he? And he saw that. And the scripture tells us here that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, because he knew that was coming. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so as we look through some of these, a few little examples here on our way to some other things, I want to keep in mind that, folks, these people, Moses, we read about him and the amazing things God did in his life. I believe the Lord wants to do amazing things in every one of our lives. On different levels, in different ways, he wants to be an amazing God to every one of us, doesn't he? And he will be. But I will tell you, this Moses, that he thought surely God would deliver them through him. I guess that's what I understand. You know, he went away and he had to run for his life, and he spent 40 long years in the desert herding sheep and whatever he did all that time. Big part of it sounded like herding sheep. That's what Moses, the rich, the powerful, the one that had a lot of nice, easy things at his hands and disposal, he spent 40 years herding sheep. I wonder, this is an amazing story to me, because I wonder what was going through his mind during that time. What I thought God was going to, all my hopes are dashed. I thought God was going to do something. And after a year, you know, well, maybe he will. Maybe something will happen. After 5 years, wow, it's been a long time. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And here I am, I'm still herding sheep, and I'm 80 years old. Or what was he, 80, 85, wasn't he? And 80 years old, Moses was. Spent the best part of his life, hadn't he? But oh, God hadn't started yet. God was just preparing him all of that time. Folks, God uses all of these places. He, in his wisdom, has developed it to where all of these places make us able to do his will. There's spokes in our wheel. Those places are places where God didn't leave Moses. He just felt like he left him maybe for 40 years. But one day, Moses was walking along on the backside of the desert, it says. And you know what happened? A bush was burning with fire. And yet, the bush didn't burn up. We had a big fire yesterday, burning up a big, big pile of wood. And you know what? In a few hours, I was amazed. It was just down to nothing. But I will tell you, this bush didn't burn up. And Moses had to go over there and take a look at this. This is the desert. It's hot. It's dry. Things ought to burn here. They ought to burn up fast. But you know what? This didn't burn up because God had his hand on Moses all that time. He went over to see what the bush was, what about it? And God began to speak to him. And he began to tell him, "What's that in your hand, Moses? Cast it on the ground." And you know what? It became a serpent, didn't it? A snake. And we find a story that just begins. Just begins the work that God had for him. But had Moses not spent 40 years enduring, 40 years, 40 years, folks, enduring, he could have never been used of the Lord. All that time, God having his hand on him, for something greater, much greater than all that nonsense of power and glory and money and ease and all those things that he had. He counted it greater riches, didn't he? He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so this morning, we see a lot of stories in Genesis, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We find reference to many stories. We find reference to Abraham. Abraham was a man that God called, didn't he? And he told him, "I want you to get up and go to a land that you know not." Do you know that Abraham never got to settle in that land in a nice home and everything? Never did. He endured that. I can tell you it's not as easy in a tent as it is in a home. Now, I don't know what kind of tent he had, but the tents I've been in, I don't want to live in. You ever been in a tent for a while?
No.
At Monarch. Okay. And it was hot at Monarch, but this... All right. All right. You know, Abraham endured all the way through. But I'll tell you what he left. He left a legacy of spiritual help for centuries that is still happening today, didn't he? He had faith in God. He endured as seeing him that is invisible. And he lived his whole life that way. He never did realize the dreams of... Abraham had many good things, folks. Abraham was so blessed of the Lord. But I will tell you, He never lived in a big, nice house. How about David? You know, David spent quite a few years out there. We've often heard of him, haven't we? You know what God was doing? David was not at the mercy of Saul. He was at the mercy of God. Very much so. If he would have been at the mercy of Saul, he would have killed him when he had a chance. But he committed himself to God. And he endured for many years the chastening of Saul. He endured that. But I'll tell you what came to David later. The kingdom. The Lord blessed David, didn't he? It wasn't forever. God used all that time to make a David a finer man than Saul was. Saul was a man given to the flesh. He was a man that gave himself to his will. And when God told him what to do, he went and did what he wanted to do. And the prophet went to him and said, I can't use you. God can't use you anymore. He's done. He's going to find somebody better than you. That's what the Lord told him. And so we see that. Do you know this morning, David had to endure those things or he could never have become what God wanted him to be. David had a call on his life. He even knew it. But he had to be disillusioned for years. What is this? Why doesn't God take care of Saul? Do you think those thoughts never came to his mind? Why is this happening? Why does this continue on? You know what? David endured as seeing him who is invisible. And folks, if we're going to make heaven our home, and if our spiritual experience is going to be supported, and if we're going to let the Lord use our lives, we're going to have to be willing to endure some things. We're going to have to be willing to allow that, allow God that place that we don't understand. I know we've mentioned this plenty of times. I want to tell you, Joseph was another one. His hopes were dashed. Was there any hope for Joseph? What was he going to, how was he ever going to come out of this? 13 years or so, right around that. He was around 17 when he left, when he got put in the pit, and he was 30, it says, when he came before Pharaoh. And suddenly became second in command in Egypt. But you know what? God had to make a vessel out of him. Because he was a little bit, and I don't want to down him, but I will tell you, it seems to me like maybe he was a little childish when he told his brothers his dreams and all that stuff. And I just wonder how humble he was in all of that. I wonder if maybe he brought a little on himself. I don't know. I'm not saying the scriptures say that. But you know what, folks? God worked with Joseph. He made a man out of Joseph. He made something that he wasn't before. And if Joseph would have not been willing to submit, to endure those things, not knowing there was ever a future, I'm going to die down here in prison maybe. I've been in here for several years. And I didn't do a thing wrong. And you know what? He could have been a bitter, bitter man. Could have been a bitter 30-year-old. He could have cursed and spit and all those things. But he didn't do that. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. There's one, folks, that really does have our life completely enveloped in his love. Do you know that? If we're one of God's children, we can rest in that. In that 11th chapter, we step back to the 13th verse. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. You know, sometimes we can be persuaded of something and not embrace it. But they saw these men and women in this chapter 11 of Hebrews. I want to tell you, they saw the promises of God. They saw the commandments, the things of God. And they were persuaded of them and they embraced them. They took upon them those things in their life. And it says, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Folks, those that go to heaven decide in their hearts, come what may, I'm going to heaven. I don't care what it comes into my life. I don't care how it becomes. I'm going to go to heaven by the grace of God. Is that true? We got to settle something, don't we? We've got to settle something. I'm not in here for the loaves and the fishes. I'm not in here because it brings me peace and joy every day altogether. That's a nice piece of what God wants to give to us, folks. But I will tell you, there's going to be days that it's not. We're not going to feel real joyful. Jesus didn't feel joyful when he was weeping, when he was in the garden sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. There's going to be times like that in our life. I want to encourage us today to determine in our hearts, when it gets hard, I'm going to endure. I'm going to allow those things that God allows into my life, and I'm going to endure. It'll work in us. I'm going to see something that's invisible. That's God. And I'm going to believe it and live my life that way. These people all had a mindset, didn't they? Jesus had a mindset, didn't he? You remember over there in Philippians 2 where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now listen to what it says about his mind. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now he didn't think that that it was robbery for him to say, I'm equal with God, because he was God. He was part of God, the Godhead, wasn't he? And so, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'd say that's a low place, wouldn't you? When Jesus was looking at it, it was a low place for him. He didn't look at the cross and start smacking his hands together and rubbing his hands and in anticipation, did he? No, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He knew there was some hard things coming, but Jesus had it settled. Whatever it takes, I am going through. I'm going to do the will of God in my life. And this morning, I know this isn't maybe as wonderful a thought as the Word of God, but folks, it's one of the spokes in our wheel. And I found that not everybody understands this spoke. I have found that people misunderstand this spoke and don't understand that God wants us to be willing to accept whatever He allows into our life and to keep going for Him. Let this mind be in you. Romans 12:2 says, rejoicing in hope. It says, patient in tribulation. Do you know what that word patient means? Patient in tribulation. It's the very same word that we read earlier that's called endurance. The same Greek word. Patient in tribulation. Enduring tribulation. What is tribulation? It's distresses. It's afflictions. It's all kinds of things that happen to us negatively that we have to endure in life, isn't it? And so this morning, let's be patient in tribulation. We all know that there are those that wish to go to heaven. There's the faint-hearted that wants to go to heaven, but they're not willing to go. I encourage us today to take upon us the mindset and the heart that no matter what God allows in my life, I want to go to heaven. I'm going to keep walking with the Lord. I'm not going to let anything cause me not to. When Jesus died, it was the end of all hope for his followers. His followers were like, I thought that he was the hope. I thought, but then he's gone. He's dead. He's gone. He's gone. He's dead. It's the end. He's out. But was that true? It's never so with God. You know, when we endure seeing the invisible one, folks, it'll help us to have stability in our life. It'll help us carry the long haul and be willing and able to carry the load. Because sometimes it's disillusioning. When we've had pain and it keeps on keeping on for a while, or affliction, I want to tell you, folks, that's not always fun. But I will say something else. There is a great God in heaven that if we submit ourselves and our lives to Him, we can thank Him every day that we have, for every meal we have, for every good thing God has given us. Can't we say thank you with a heart that's meaningful? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the good thing I've had. For every good breath that He gives us, for every minute that's not painful, can we not say thank you, Lord? Oh, this morning, I know this is not a real popular thought, but folks, it's necessary. It's necessary. It's a spoke in the wheel that if we don't have that mindset, it's going to cause us a lot of trouble in time to come. You know, Jesus said, this is John 6, and we're all familiar with this. He said, whoso eateth my flesh, 6 and 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you know that that was a real problem to a lot of people that heard him? Why would you say that? We don't eat flesh and we don't drink blood. But you know, to those that really love the Lord, that stuck around, listen to what he said to them here. John 6 and 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And dropping on to 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know that there were those that followed him for loaves and fishes? Because how much better does it get than to just go listen to the great teacher and he feed you? And you're just there. There's no responsibilities, no nothing. But I will tell you, there was some that had a divine revelation that this was the Christ. This was the Son of the living God. And so they had been walking with the Lord, and it was different for them. You know, when you remember one place, Jesus asked his disciples, this is in Matthew 16. I'm skipping over a lot of things quickly here now because of time. But Jesus asked him, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Folks, the Lord wants to reveal some things to us of the invisible one. He wants to reveal some things to us that when everybody else goes away, our heart remains. He wants to reveal those things to us. He wants us to learn to endure some hardness in our life. Because if we don't, the hard places are going to come. And we're not going to be prepared for them. And the Lord wants us to know there will be hard places. However they come, whether it's persecution, whether it's affliction and pain, these bodies break down, or whatever it is. But you know, he told Peter these things, and Peter heard that. Who do men say that? Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Do you know that Peter went out? He had a real revelation of the Lord. Do you know what he went out and did? The Lord gave him. He told him here something about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Do you know Peter took those keys out? He had things revealed into his heart and life. And he didn't stop because things were going to get hard or Jesus said so or anything else. Folks, Peter went out and he took those keys, these words of life, and he gave them to people. These are the keys that can deliver you from your affliction of Satan. These are the keys that can heal you when they believed in the name of the Lord. These are the keys that have the answers to life. These are the keys that tell us how to live. And he took those keys out, Peter did. Do you think that Peter just, his life was full of only? I'm making a little transition here. But his life was only heartache and hardness and pain and all those things. I want to tell you, God came into Peter's life and began to use Peter. And he said, I'm going to send you out. And wherever you go, you take the keys of life. And where people believe them, they're going to be life and food to their souls. They'll be loosed from their infirmities and their pains. And they'll receive the hope of eternal life. But I'll tell you what else. Others will be bound. Others will be condemned to eternal fire because they did not believe and they rejected and were disobedient to those words of life. You know, Peter went out preaching. You know, one place he preached, 3,000 people got saved. Do you know another place Peter preached? This is Acts 5 and 15. We'll turn to that real quick. Another place where he was, and believers, 5 and 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. What a life! What high places of victory! Don't you know God has that in our life? Don't you know He has high places of victory in our lives? All in different ways and different kinds. He has those high places. I'll tell you what else happened to Peter. The Lord told him, said, when you're old, they're going to take you and carry you where you would not. You know what He was telling him? They're going to crucify you. And do you know that there came a day in Peter's life and he was in Rome. And you know, they did crucify him. And as the best history we have on that, they say that he asked, don't let me be crucified like Christ. Let me be upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus was. Crucify me upside down. Did he throw in the towel? Did he say, I don't think I can bear this one? You know, I can do when the multitudes are being healed. And everywhere God's working and all of these things are happening, but I can't do it when it's going to be my life. Folks, we got to have that too. Because see, Peter would have went through all that good stuff and stopped just short of death. Stopped just short of heaven had he refused to endure the cross. So this morning, I just want to encourage us today, folks, the Lord has a job for us too. He has some things for you and I in our life. And he wants us to know there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. And some of them are pretty high and some of them are pretty low. And we have to accept them all. And we have to realize they're coming and accept that fact. You know what Paul said over here, 2 Corinthians 4. And 6, he says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Why? How could he be troubled on every side and not distressed? Because he saw him who's invisible. And he had faith in that. And he anchored his soul in that haven of rest. And so when he was distressed, he accepted it. There is one in control of all this. Yes. And it says, "We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Was Jesus' whole existence here, those few days when he was crucified and all that happened? That was just a little piece of it. But he had to endure that. That was just before his crown. Folks, before we receive our crown, we are going to have to be willing to go through places that are distressing and many, many places in life. It lies between us and the goal. And if we have the mindset that the Lord wants us to have, it'll be a lot easier. Because they endured as seeing him who is invisible. They didn't endure like they were out of luck, out of hope, out of everything. They endured as knowing that there was a God in heaven, in control, full control. And they endured that way. Folks, that's a lot of difference, isn't it? That's a lot of difference. Beloved, 1 Peter 4 and 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." How can you be happy when you're reproached for the name of Christ? Because the Spirit of the glory of God inhabits our souls. The Lord fills us with his glory. And some of the deepest places in life you'll look back to as the most treasured. I hope you find it that way. It's true. Some of the hardest places of life are places where God met us, isn't it? Imagine Jacob when he was traveling along there and he met God along the way. I'll tell you, Jacob remembered that. That was a big deal in Jacob's life. It changed his life, in fact. He was never the same after that. These places are places God allows or sends us into for good purposes. And so if we will allow the Lord his work, it'll be a real benefit to our lives. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Oh, the psalm says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. All this morning, I'll read one more place here. Hebrews 10 and 34. Let's let our hearts take courage in all the places God brings us in here. 34 to 36. It says here, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You know, there's something in heaven that's better. And you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods here because of that invisible hope that you had. And he says here, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, endure. Have some patience. After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know, there's never a place for us to draw back from the Lord. The Lord encourages us today to have our spokes full and complete. Things like this aren't as easy as some of the other things. They're not as joyful, but they're a necessary part of the journey that lies between us and our goal, which is heaven. You pray for me. I want to be willing to serve the Lord in all circumstances and not draw back because it's hard. You pray for me. Sure they were. And Moses kind of, yes they were. Moses kind of got ahead of the Lord, I think. But the footsteps, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The Lord help us today. Amen.